Today we continue our Lenten series on the major items in worship that we may take for granted. We're now into the third week on the core, the essence, the meaning of the Lord's Prayer as we struggle to live a life that God would have us live. Astronaut James Irwin is one of about a dozen men to walk on the moon. As he stood upon the lunar landscape for the first time, he looked at Earth and he prayed for the first time in his life. He thought about the strife among nations, poverty, hunger, evil, and he thought to himself, what is more important than man walking on the moon than God walking on the earth? That's so important. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What in the world does that mean, thy kingdom come? Well, there are many, many things that make up thy kingdom come. We're referring to God, the King, and his present and future kingdom. The prophet Isaiah has a wealth of information about the prophecy and the coming of Messiah. The first section of these words were from the Messiah oratorio by Handel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The establishment of the kingdom of God will happen. The Messiah will establish his authority, and the Messiah means the anointed one. We elect and we inaugurate presidents, don't we? But we anoint kings. In fact, there are only three absolute monarchies left in the world today. There's King Salman of Saudi Arabia, Sultan Qaboos of Oman, and King Maswati of the second of Swaziland. The word kingdom in the original language means to rule or to reign. God's kingdom is unique. It's not a human kingdom. It is everywhere. Kingdoms rise and fall, but God's kingdom is forever. As Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, "What kind of king are you?" Jesus didn't fit into Pilate's perception of a king. Here was somebody who was beaten and put in chains. He didn't conform to the popular notion of a political ruler who wielded and dealt with other rulers. Jesus responded with a baffling statement to Pilate saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is within you." In a spiritual sense, we're living now in the kingdom. We will always live in the kingdom of God. We just don't remember it. Our life on earth is just like a side trip, like the moonwalking astronauts. Both John the Baptist and Jesus began their ministries by announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're asking God to expand the kingdom to include everybody on the earth. That's what God is waiting for. We are anticipating the day that Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom and rules over everything. Now, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer has a lot of meat in it. Thy kingdom come. We think it's just a simple little sentence, but it's not. Thy kingdom come is an evangelistic prayer. We're part of the answer to that because our job is to reach out and to bring other people into the kingdom of God, to convert the heart of unbelievers, to share the good news that Jesus saves. At the board meeting of the New Life in Christ Inner City Church last week, Benny and I have been members of that board for 20 years. It's a long time to be a board member. But she mentioned the two amazing miracles that happened in our church in the first couple of months. One was the the clavinova that was donated by Ron Estes' daughter, and that was fantastic. It happened so quickly because one clavinova was destroyed or not being able to use anymore, and then we got the other one within a few hours. And the same thing that happened with Pastor Hugh, I'll call you Pastor, because we lost Mary Rose, she resigned, and within a couple of hours, Hugh came on board. Now, we have two pastors in our church. We're a real big-time church, aren't we? Wow, we're hit the big time. We have doctors, we have lawyers, we have judges, we have teachers, we have nurses and engineers and bankers and military career people, businessmen and women, and of course the most hardworking group of all, the stay-at-home moms. So we're a real church. We work 24/7. Thy kingdom come, secondly, is an ethical prayer. When John the Baptist said the kingdom of God is at hand, he called people to repent. Paul describes the kingdom of God as righteousness and peace and joy for the Holy Spirit. If the kingdom of God is within us, then we are part of that family of God. We are children of the King. We can't say, thy kingdom come when you pray the Lord's Prayer and just live like orphans. Thy kingdom come means we're under the lordship and the fatherhood of the King. He is our Father. Thy kingdom come is also a prophetic prayer. A person who is on their knees praying can look further into the future than any philosophers. The history is headed for a climax, the end of all time. One day Jesus will return, and we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. Christians have different ideas. Some say it's going to happen sooner, and some later. Some have planned for the end of the world to come, and they have gotten people to go up into a mountain to wait for the end of the world, and so far it hasn't happened. The very end of the Bible, the last verse in the book of Revelation says, come, Lord Jesus. That is the very end of the Bible. And we have always existed. We. What does that little word, we, mean? It's certainly not that pile of bones, muscles, nerves, skin, and fat that we have. That's not we. Our time and our physical bodies is so short, so short. Sometimes we think of 80, 90, or 100 years as a long time, but it's not in the continuum of time. Tom DiMarino, who was here this morning, said it so well yesterday at a men's group, not the church's men group, but that we've been meeting together for 6 or 7 years already, and over that time we've put in about 800 hours of just talking very intimately with each other. In fact, almost every time we meet, there is somebody who has tears, if not all of us. He said that our energy, our spirit, is in us and will always live. It doesn't die with our flesh and bones. In fact, the Bible says, before the world was created, I knew you. Well, how could God say that if you didn't exist in your spirit? Life does not come to an end like pulling a cord on a light bulb. The end of life is the beginning of eternal life. When Betty asked about my talk about my life, there are three parts. There's the childhood years, the adult years, and then the senior years. And then the fourth part is the fourth third of my life, which is life eternal. That is so important. The spirit of our life will go on with God forever and has been there forever. The kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, is a protest prayer too. We are opposing every other view that there is on the earth that is against God. It's a refusal to accept as normal what is abnormal, what does not fit into the theology of God. Why don't we pray more? Why don't we get angry about what's going on in this world and pray to God to say, thy kingdom come, make it come now. God wants us to process our strong feelings through a life of prayer. Thy kingdom come is also a war prayer, a battle cry prayer. Why isn't everybody bowing down in the name of the Lord saying, you are my God? Because there is another kingdom, a kingdom of darkness. People are enticed by the subtlety and the attraction of the kingdom of darkness. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare, and we're praying for victory. St. Paul says Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Yes, Lucifer is still alive and well and doing his job very well. We can see it all the time throughout our life. Thy kingdom come is a submissive prayer. But we want to submit to God to bring him into our life. How concerned are we with God's prayers? How concerned are we that we have the role of God in our life, that we do as best we can to fulfill that? Have we surrendered our plans and priorities to God to say, what are we to do? I know that Vani Carmichael, she said she prayed so hard about what she should do about changing her life to move to someplace else. That's handing your life over to God, and you will get the right answer. Jesus tells us to say, he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will come unto you. Thy kingdom come is a comforting prayer. Cast your burdens upon the Lord when you have them. Just cast them upon the Lord. We belong to the kingdom that will overcome this world. Thy kingdom come is a unifying prayer. It brings us together. We are not many kingdoms of God, but we're all one. Be they Protestant or Catholic or Lutheran or Episcopalian or congregational, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In this prayer, we hope that thy kingdom come will bring everybody together in a way that says this is the body of Christ. Thy kingdom come is a identifying prayer. Our citizenship in heaven says, thy kingdom come because I am part of this kingdom. We are governed now by human law, but our ultimate law is the law of God. Nations rise and fall. Nations live for centuries, 400, 500, 600, 700 centuries, but the Lord of God kingdom is forever. Thy kingdom come is a realistic prayer because that is why we live in life today. Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses. It means it makes them numb to everything else around them. But yet when we pray, we're not escaping reality. We're working with reality to say, this part of my life is awful today. Let's make it better tomorrow. We belong to God's kingdom and not the shadowlands of this world. So this, thy kingdom come, has many parts, doesn't it? Ethical, prophetic, a protest, evangelistic, a warfare, battle cry, a submissive prayer, a comforting prayer, a unifying prayer, and a realistic prayer. Thy kingdom come, three words. Look at what it can do. We obtain this kingdom in our heart by trusting Christ as our King. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life, why don't you do it now? Thy kingdom come and make it part of your life. How do you do that? You don't go to school. You don't take a test. You don't follow certain rules, but by stating something like the following. Just listen to this. Dear God, I want to be part of your family. You said in your word that if I acknowledge that you raised Jesus from the dead and that I accept him as my Lord and Savior, I would be saved. So God, I now say that I believe you raised Jesus from the dead and that he is alive and well. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. And then I am now saved. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me, saving me, and giving me life eternal with you. Amen. Now, if you'd like to have that email to you so that you can have that, let me know, and I will do that. Whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is so important to think carefully about each of these sections. We have a kingdom worth praying for. The kingdom is in our hearts. One day, the forces of evil will be gone, and we are part of that kingdom. In the meantime, pray, thy kingdom come, and keep that meaning close to your heart. And now let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.